Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today is the text just read. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when I first looked at this passage, it reminded me very much of what all of you are going through right about in the middle of this quarter, just about ready for all of those midterm exams. How much better to describe a seminary student at that point as hard-pressed, doubting, persecuted, and struck down? Then again, as we think about it, perhaps also the professors, as they look at the mounting piles of papers to grade, also feel very much similar to the students at this time of the quarter. What you might be asking yourself about in the middle of these exams, especially as you wade through all of the pages that you have to read, are busily scribbling down notes for your footnotes, is, well, what is this all worth anyway? What's in it for me? I toil and I labor and I push hard, and little thanks do I get except for perhaps a little letter scribbled at the top of the paper when it's all done, and a little printed computer printout when it's all finished, and a very pleasant note from Mike Caudill that we still owe a little bit of money for all of that pleasant experience. Throughout all of this, I can't urge upon you anymore that it's going to get any easier, or that the parish life is going to be very close to the little paradise on earth that Walther would have you believe that it's going to be, because sometimes you will find in the midst, especially of your second or your third year, that you are indeed hard-pressed, doubting, persecuted, and struck down. That one day when you spend long hours preparing for a sermon and then are accused of absolutely doing nothing with your time except preaching on Sunday, you may begin to wonder, well, is all of this worth it? What's the point after all? In all of this, St. Paul wants to offer some comfort to you. And I don't know if you're like me, but when you first read the words here, there isn't a whole lot of comfort in what he has to say. He says, good news, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be hard-pressed, you're going to be doubting, and you're going to be pressed down. And you say, so what's so good about that? After all, what's in it for me? And the real answer lies not so much in these verses, but in what comes before these verses, in that it is the gospel itself, that treasure that is hid within us clay pots, that makes the whole thing worthwhile. What's in it for me is what's in it for those that the Lord has placed in our care. What's in it for me is the gospel, the precious gospel that our words, St. Paul tells us, very similar to the words that God himself spoke on the first day. He says that it's similar to when God said, let there be light. It is so much the same as when he says to us, let there be the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ within us. That precious gospel is so important, is so beautiful, is so necessary for us and for this world, that it really is worth all of the labor, all of the persecution, all of the hassles, all of the lack of thanks you get for the hours of labor that you may put in the ministry. That gospel makes all the difference in the world, after all, for us and for those we share it with. What Paul offers as comfort for us is that as we look at what our lives are like, we can see the gospel even more clearly. You may have heard the analogy before, but I'll risk trying it again, of what happens when a jeweler goes to set a very important and special gem into a ring. He doesn't look for a really, really gaudy, fantastically attractive, jewel-bedecked setting for that jewel. It won't work, because everybody will pay attention to the ring itself and will forget about the gem. What he does is he finds a simple, but elegant perhaps, gold ring or a platinum ring, and sets the marvelous gem within the plain wrapper. That's what Paul is telling us is happening with us. God puts the gospel and the ministry of proclaiming the gospel in us who are clay pots. We are, after all, human. We're caught up in the normal cares of the world like anyone else. When you open the mailbox and 65 bills fall out and 3 advertisements to spend more money, you ugh just like your neighbors and the parishioners in the parish. When you have to eat, you're just as hungry. When you're thirsty, you have to drink. And those cares can sometimes arise and cloud your judgment, just like anyone else. We are sinners also, after all. I know that's hard to break to y'all out there, especially hard to break that I'm a sinner as well. But we are sinners. And that means not only do sometimes we find it hard to do God's will, but we decide that we really don't want to do his will anyway. In addition to that, we do get troubled and persecuted. Sometimes we get harder lessons and harder treatment and are singled out because we will stand up for the Lord and for his truth, and because we'll tell even some of the folks in our congregation, very gently, I hope, folks, that they need a little bit more study in the scriptures because they're wrong. When you tell people that they need to hear God's word and that they need to change, that they need to allow God to make them holier and to remove sin from their lives, you're not likely to get a lot of smiles and a lot of pats on the back and a lot of thank you very much for helping me, Pastor. If you get anything, sometimes you'll get scowls, people walking out of the church not ready to talk to you anymore, people who will the next day file to transfer from your congregation because you told them the truth, or you'll get just nothing for day in and day out. If the world catches on and you happen to criticize the world, watch out. Everything from mild to severe persecution can set in, even in the United States. And should you be blessed that the Lord would send you to a mission field, it could be even worse. Even when you're, and especially when you're faithful, you can be troubled and persecuted. Our tasks really leave little room for glory and lots of room for heavy, thankless labor. And yet, think about what is stored in that sort of clay pot. It is the precious gospel that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, that because he died in our place, we are saved by grace through faith in him, and that because of that, we will live and be with him forever and ever. When you place that gospel in a plain wrapper, and when people watch and study how you live with that gospel throughout such thankless labors, they will see very clearly what that gospel is worth. They will respond to it. The gospel shines even more brightly in a common setting, as we all are. The gospel, after all, is built on suffering, and our sufferings do not even compare to that suffering on which it is built. It is built on the sufferings and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The good news is that when we undergo persecution and trial in a similar way, although at a much lesser level than our Lord did, we share in that fellowship in suffering. We join in a bit with what the Lord has suffered for our sakes, and it joins us to him. Because we are linked to our Lord, and because he rose from death, we have an even surer promise. We have the promise that we too will rise from the grave, and that those that we bring the gospel to faithfully will join us as well. We have the unaltered promise of God that his gospel will not return to him void, but that it will bring with it the fruit of salvation. That, after all, is what is in it for us and for our hearers. And we can rejoice that we are rather bit like a clay pot, because it helps us to focus on that gospel. Amen.